None of the pews up front are broken. I'll just remind you of that. Next time, I'll get the portable pulpit, and I'll come out to you. Okay. When the pastor comes calling. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Let us hear God's word for us this evening, brothers and sisters. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Now, those of you who may be a little unfamiliar, it might be strange to show up on a Sunday night and be singing Christmas songs. It's still November. You're like the lunatics who start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving even starts. What's wrong with you people? Well, the season of Advent is 4 weeks prior to Christmas, where we seek to encourage every heart to prepare Him room, to consider what it means that our Savior came, and to consider the fact that He will come again, just as God kept His word in the first coming of our Lord. He will keep His word in the return of our Savior. And so our focus this year in this season is what we're calling Songs for Jesus. These handful of moments of prophetic utterance, of joy, of, in a sense, ecstasy as Christ is coming to earth. These songs that were not penned over the piano or guitar, but were given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to remember this historic occasion of Christ's birth. The setting of tonight's text is a little bit prior to this. It begins earlier in the first chapter of Luke when Zechariah, the father of John the Presbyterian, is doing his service in the temple, and an angel appears to him there and tells him that his wife will have a baby. He doesn't believe it. We're too old. And he is struck mute. And he communicates to people that the baby's name would be John. That's the background to this moment that we find of Elizabeth's song. And the first thing we find in tonight's text is Mary's obedience. Mary's obedience. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The background to this being Mary having received the announcement that she would give birth to the Son of God. We find in verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So it's at this announcement that Mary is going to give birth to the Son of God, and that her older, barren cousin is with child, that she is determined to go spend time with her cousin. Now, we can often think of the word haste as hurried. Now, to get from Nazareth down to where Elizabeth was in the south end of Jerusalem would have taken a number of days, and Mary was probably already pregnant at this point. And so I don't want to say anything that'll get me in trouble, but she probably wasn't hurrying. It probably took her a while to get to Elizabeth. But this haste is speaking of the determined nature with which Mary traveled to see her cousin. This is a momentous event. And Mary, in her obedience to the Lord, in receiving this gift of conceiving the Son of God, is determined to go spend time with her older barren cousin. And what we see in this moment is Mary's obedience happening in the context of the fruitfulness of the gospel coming to earth. The end of Malachi, some of the last words that we hear before a period of 400 years that were silent in prophetic ministry, not in God working. God just didn't turn his back for 400 years. There was lots of providential activity going on in that intertestamental period. But right before that period of revelation ends, before the appearance of Christ and the announcement of his birth, we read in Malachi 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Now, this text does a few things for us. One of the things it does is it lets us know that from the time of Christ, we are living in what Scripture calls the last days. Now, the last days didn't start in 1910. It didn't start in 1948. The last days started around 3 or 4 BC. Don't ask me how that works, but just trust me. I know math. You know I'm not good at math, but just trust me that's about the time that the last days, the days of the Lord, that great and awesome day. And Elijah the prophet, this is pointing forward to John the Baptist coming as that one who was assumed to be Elijah, who had been ushered up into the heavenlies, had returned. And so this great prophet is coming to announce this day. And Malachi tells us of all this interaction between one generation and the next, fathers and mothers and their children. And we see this in the very moment that these announcements are made. You have a father and a mother who had given up hope that they would ever conceive a son. Elizabeth was barren, and she knew she was barren because she was old and she had not had any kids, a very painful thing for a woman of any era, but particularly an era where your offspring were such a sign of God's blessing to you. We see the same with Mary and Joseph as the angel comes and visits the both of them. And Joseph determines to take on this situation, and Mary determines to be obedient. And there is this great fruitfulness that happens in the ground in which a seed had never been planted, and in the ground that plenty of seeds had been planted, but no fruit had ever sprung forth. The glory of the gospel in the bearing of these two babies. And Mary, in her obedience, determines to go delight in this moment with her older barren cousin. Two women who should not be pregnant, and yet find themselves pregnant with two of the most amazing characters in the history of the world. Secondly, we see John's response. We see John's response. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, lots of babies jump and twist and kick and breech and de-breech, whatever you call that. Lots of babies do lots of movement in lots of wombs, but very few give us the commentary of the Holy Spirit on why they did that. Elizabeth, in that moment, says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears," verse 44, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy." John in utero is responding to the voice of the mother of his Lord, the one whom he had been conceived to announce. And before he's even born, he is already fulfilling the office that God had given him. And John's response reminds us of a few things. It reminds us of God's call on his life. That he was not just some miracle baby that was conceived by two older folks who never should have had a baby, but God determined that he would be born because he would be the great prophet who would announce Christ and point the world to the coming Messiah. God had a call on his life. It also reminds us of God's call to us through John's life, especially in an age when we can be so distracted and enthralled by those who call us to Jesus. John does just that, as we can still see his leathery hand pointing and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I baptize you with water, but there is one who comes after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and I am not even worthy to bend down and undo his sandal," that act of service to wash someone's feet after they've made the journey. He's coming from heaven. He's coming to buy us, and after he makes that journey, I'm not even worthy to wash his feet. It also reminds us of God's providence in salvation. That here in utero, a chosen child of God responds to the presence of his Savior. Now, I with joy can say that without just making it up and saying, wouldn't that be neat if this is how it was? We have the Holy Spirit telling us through Elizabeth that it was for the joy of Mary's voice, knowing that his Lord was present, that John leaped for joy in the belly of his mom. We see Mary's obedience, we see John's response, and we see Elizabeth's prophecy. We see Elizabeth's prophecy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Bach reminds us that the Holy Spirit for Luke is the Spirit who reveals, who speaks, who guides, were pointed to Luke 4, 1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Luke 12, 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And Acts 15, 28, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden, that great response from that first council of elders and apostles. The Spirit is that living, breathing presence of the triune God there. He is the third person of the Godhead, fills Elizabeth, and she exclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, we are obviously a Protestant church, and yes, we are still protesting. We're a Reformed church. Yes, we're still reforming. And so we live in the light, or we live in the shadow, we should say, of Rome, where we start to talk about Mary and we start to speak too highly and we start to get nervous because of the language and the theology, the Mariolatry, it's called, that has grown up in the Roman church. But you have to understand that Elizabeth is not saying these things so that we could sell beads and require prayers of people down the road. She's saying these things at the end of a road that had already been walked for thousands of years by the women who were part of God's people. That all started back in Genesis 3:15, where God promises to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And that word there for offspring is the word seed. The seed of the woman. Anatomy and physiology tells us that is not how it works, but that's how theologically it works in this case. So Genesis 3:15, that promise is made. Genesis 4:1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, this is the English Standard Version, says, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." The Hebrew just says, "I have gotten a man, the Lord." Showing that Eve believed the promise so much that the first baby that was born, she was convinced would be the one to deal with this sin problem. Imagine the chagrin in that mother's eyes when it became clear that Cain was not to be the promised one. And then when that son kills the one she hoped might be the one then. So what do we read in Genesis 4:25? "And Adam knew his wife again." That's speaking of that marital union, that sexual relationship. "And she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring, another seed, instead of Abel, for Cain killed him.'" She is still believing the promise. And you see this generation after generation after generation. You see it in the next chapter in Genesis 5. "When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, 'Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands.'" And as the old song says, "For ages women hoped and prayed to bear the anointed one, both Israel's Savior and the world's, the new day's shining sun. Did they not know, did they not guess what pain would then be theirs if God's anointed graced their home in answer to their prayers?" And after thousands and thousands of years, generation after generation, pregnancy after pregnancy, birth after birth, heaven has now visited in these angelic beings and said, "This will be the one." And that is the background, that is the theology that is coming into Elizabeth's Spirit-invoked announcement. "Blessed are you among women." We all hoped it. We all prayed for it. This was the double whammy for a barren woman prior to Christ being born, was not only did they not have any child, that hope that this would be the seed to deal with the sin problem, that hope was also dashed from their very souls. The title of that hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's not just to make a good Christmas lyric. It's a reality. Well, it does, though. But the reality is God's people waited a long time to get their Savior. And now, here he is in the womb of this young virgin. And we see, fourthly, faith's blessing. Faith's blessing. Elizabeth proclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." To a virgin meek and mild came an angel holy, greeting her, the undefiled, in her chamber lowly. "Hail to thee, thou blessed one, chosen mother of God's Son. Through a wondrous birth he shall come to earth and reign as a king forever. Jesus, blessed Savior. By the sages long foretold, now the day is nearing. Promises of God unfold in the Son appearing. He, the child of Bethlehem, branch divine of Jesse's stem, shall have great increase as the Prince of Peace, and the earth shall be filled with the Lord's salvation, hope of every nation. This is the one that was promised to Mary, and she believed. She had faith, and we know that faith is a gift. And faith's blessing is seeing the fulfillment of what is promised from the Lord. The purpose of Mary's choosing was not to exalt Mary. It wasn't to establish some two-tiered system in the house of God of virgins who are chosen to be the Theotokos and everybody else. It was to exemplify again that God's choosing is what brings life. His gift of faith is what connects us to his grace. And our dead hearts are made alive, and life springs up where it never should be. Our cold, dark, sinful hearts, barren of the gospel. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This brings us back full circle to the beginning of the gospel in that Genesis 3:15 moment, that very first utterance. Mary was the full blossoming of that hopefulness of those generations of ladies who believed God will do what he says. And friends, what does God say? God says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is guaranteed because God has said it. And we can look back now and say God kept his word. The seed of the woman was born. And we look forward, we say the seed of the woman will come again in great power and glory, bringing all things to their appointed end. Do you believe? Have you called on the name of the Lord? Do you believe that God will do what he says in saving you when you call upon that promised one? Stand with me as we pray. Father, we praise you because you are a God of your word. We praise you for this example of Jesus' mother who believed the promises you made to her as she operated in that faith granted to her by your Holy Spirit. In this glorious song of blessing, as the Spirit filled Elizabeth and gave her utterance of great praise of the Lord because what he was doing in her cousin's life. Father, as you did for the virgin, as you did for the barren cousin, bring forth life in our dead hearts. Cause us to see you, to savor you, to love you, to desire you above all else. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.